Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that this blesses you greatly. Here is today's message in progress.
As I walked into the building tonight, I was praying for a dear friend, asking the Lord a quick question. What's up with that, Lord? About a situation, and he said, hold steady the ship. And I was like, oh. And as I heard him say that, I saw people trying to jump in and jump out and mess with the course. And I'm reminded of that scripture, steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And I thought that word was just for my dear, dear, dear friend. But as I came in and I was talking to another dear, dear, dear friend, you're all dear. And the word was for that person too. And so I'm like, wow, this might be a word for all of us. Well, I can't assume that because I'm not the Lord. But as I was worshiping, I kept seeing ships all over the place and different portions and positions. And he was reminding me of scriptures. And so the word of the Lord for right now is hold the ship steady. Hold the ship steady. Now, who is at the wheel of the ship? You are. It's not a trick question. You are. He gave you the keys. Okay? So if Jesus is your co-pilot, or you're the co-pilot, however that works, listen, get behind that steering wheel and hold steady. You know, remember, he's the one that came out of the water. It's a ghost. No. So, as I was worshiping tonight, I saw people that were dry docked, that were pulled into harbor, and they were getting their cargo loaded. They were getting their ship ready. And what I love about the Lord is we're not all one, you know, on the same journey. The journey is always him, and he is always first. But just like that scripture, you know, the elbow is different from the wrist, and, you know, I'm paraphrasing, but we all have different assignments in the kingdom of God. And I'm excited because hold the ship steady is a word for us. It's an anchor. It's actually, if you can grab this by the Spirit, this is a word with an anointing of peace on it. So when the winds blow and the storms come, hold the ship steady. That's a sure word. That's a promise from God. It's a commandment. He is saying, hold the ship steady. He's not saying, floor it and go. Give it all you got. He's not saying zig and zag or knock that one out with your boat, you know, or get ahead. No, he's saying hold the ship steady. Now, I could read into this in a million ways, but I'm not. But I will tell you this. I'm reminded of the scripture that talks about the tongue and the rudder. I love his word. It's so directional. And so I know some people in here are going through some storms. Storms are good. They're not, they don't last forever, but they're good because it purges what's in the heart or what's in the basement, so to speak. You know, sometimes we got to lighten the load. You know, maybe the flood is coming and it's getting close to your house. And you're like, you know what? I've been meaning to do these projects for 15 years. They're still not done. I got to get the high ground. Do I take the junk or leave it? Leave it. Which brings me to the point of works of the flesh. Now, that's a tough one. We all work, in some manner, whether it's cooking dinner or cleaning a house or an actual physical job or raising a family or going to school or being retired. It's all a form of work. It's a form of being productive in society so that we're not living, we're going there, by a spirit of entitlement. We're not hooked into that system. You know, God gave us hands and feet and a mind so that we could be productive and till the ground. Now, not under the curse, but to bring fruit forward so that we have abundance in the land. And so what I'm saying is there's a fine line between work and get her done and holding the ship steady while maintaining a life balance. And I feel like we're in the season of learning how to master that. Master the flesh, master the distractions of the flesh, but yet, do I have fuel in the tank of the boat? Because the ship is going. And do I have the necessities? Oh, here's one. I saw this. Somebody was getting their blueprint, their chart. I saw the chart. I saw Jesus sitting at this table, and I saw like the nautical maps, and I saw like, I don't know what they're called, but there's those circly things where he was like doing points with them and telling them the course that they were going on. Now, you can't get those directions if you're not with him. You can't get those directions listening from a teacher or a preacher. You can't get those directions from a magazine. You can't get those directions from a movie. You can't get those directions from your friend, your family. It is a intimate thing that the Lord will give you, and it's for you, and it may benefit your family, but every one of us has a course that we're to follow, and it flows. There should be a flow of peace, where it's not bumper boats where you're knocking people out, or bumper cars, so to speak. It's, you know, we're not taking the gun of water and shooting at our people in our way. You know, I'm seeing that in here. Hallelujah. So, you know, whatever that's about, I don't know, but I hear the Lord saying, stop it. Because that's a control of the flesh. You're responding out of emotions, and it's a controlled flesh that you need to master. And so back to the blueprint or the charts, you know, during this season, there's going to be a lot of there's going to be a lot of new growth and development, and a lot of stuff is being put in. We are being made ready. You know, there's scriptures that talk about being made ready, and when the winds blow and the storms come, you know, hold steady. And this might be repetition. You might hear this word 15,000 times tonight. I don't know, but I'm going to tell you, you're going to hear this in your sleep. You're going to hear this when you need it most, because it's a living word. It's going to come up, and you're going to go, hold steady. And it won't be like, hold steady, hold steady. It'll be like, hold steady, because it's birthed out of the Spirit. And so that might seem strange to some of you, but just wait. Just wait, because that word is alive. And so as I'm seeing in the Spirit, you know, I'm reminded of a couple things. I'm reminded of when the storms really got churning in the water, and the waves were, you know, starting to take over. The boat was taking some water in, and, you know, all of a sudden there's this thing called doubt and fear that started to run its course throughout the ship. And so you might have shipmates, family, work, friends, neighbors, who will be on your boat, so to speak, and they might be a little nervous or fearful. Hold steady. Hold the course. Hold steady. And so that's a word that you can release. Hold steady. I'm holding steady. And when you release it, it actually the forces have to obey, because life and death is in the power of the tongue. So it tree wither and it withers, mountain move and it moves, hold steady and it is. And so, you know, I'm reminded of when Edgar Bailey, as some of you know him and some of you don't, is a wise old man who walked in signs and wonders and miracles and held tent crusades back in the day. And he was at a tent crusade. I don't remember the state, but a bad storm started to come. And they were trying to peg down the tents and bring down the walls to hold the thing. And Edgar went outside and spoke to the storm and told it to go, and it obeyed. And so I want to tell you, speak to the storm by the boldness and authority of Jesus Christ, and it is. And so we've had practice in the seasons that have come and gone to speak to the mountains, and did they move? Were the bones put back in place? Was life coming forth? Yes. And so that's a yes, okay? Yes. 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 And if you haven't seen that, believe, because I'm telling you, we see it every day. We see creative miracles all the time. We see healings all the time. We expect them. We don't, oh, no, they're every day. I live in the supernatural. I don't expect a dribble and a dribble and a dribble. I expect a full measure of supernatural lifestyle because I committed myself to Him. It's not because I'm great, it's because He is. And so I don't settle for the sickness. I don't settle for the bad stuff. I speak to it. And if it doesn't obey, I keep speaking to it, because how it works is the last man standing wins. And that we learned from Holly Bailey. And she's old and wise. Been through many storms, many battles. And so we can take the testimony of others, if we don't have one for ourselves, and apply it, and it'll grow. I'm telling you. Stay the course. Okay. I want to go here. He wants me here. Obedience. I'm telling you, practice the stillness of obedience. You know, it's so easy to give our opinion and give teaching, but a word of the Spirit brings life, brings correction, brings direction, and ultimately change. So half of you are in and half of you are out. Everybody stand up and shake that thing off. Get out of here, you lethargic spirit. You'll have no hold in here tonight. We break the hold and the power that thing is on some of you. We command it to be loosed off in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Okay. You didn't come here not to receive everything Jesus has. So oftentimes, when I see an issue, I'm not going to be shy and say, oh, well, they didn't hear it. No. Get out of here, you lying devil. Anything to help us overcome the schemes and the obstacles of the enemy, I'm going after. Only when He tells me to. Otherwise, it's a work of the flesh. So what works for one, and then you mimic it, sometimes it doesn't work because it's a work of the flesh. And the Lord is trying to help us. The Holy Ghost inside of us is trying to help us get our discernment up, so that we recognize what is a real word versus what we think or feel. Because what we think or feel is often not true. How many times have we gotten a text from somebody and we've taken it the wrong way? Because we're crabby, or because we think they're saying this about us. The quickest way is to pick up the phone. I just had this happen with the skunk guy. The ongoing skunk story that you are all getting to be a part of. That skunk ate the bait, but didn't trip the trap. Well, I'm paying good money. So I call and I text. I say, hey, he ate the bait, but he didn't set the trap is still. What do you want me to do? And they're like, we won't come out will come out for $95. Otherwise, you have to bait the trap. Unless you tell us that the trap is defective, then we'll come out. And I'm thinking, pff. So I replied back and I said, you don't need to come out for $95. Well, she must have thought that I was crabby, and I was. But what she did was she called me instantly before I even got to send my next text, which diffused a potential situation, which could have caused strife, a grudge, and there's nothing to it. It was just, oh, okay, thank you. No, I don't want you to come out, period. I'll check it. I'll feel that thing. And I did. And he ate that too. He got the good salmon, which I used a tie-down strap to hold it in place. I checked that defective trap, and it works just fine. I used a stick, and pop, it went, you know. I checked, we have two. I put one out too, and I checked mine, and it popped. So that skunk is teaching me a lesson about persistence. The last man standing is going to win. So meanwhile, all the distractions... All the distractions, traveling, doing all this stuff. It's hard to stay on that. How big of a deal is it? Oh, it's just a skunk. How many issues are we dealing with that are very similar? So I go out and I buy some spotlights that are solar powered. And they're motion sensitive. But I'm too busy to put them up. Until I make the time. Until we make the time. And guess what happened? When I put those up, there's no more holes. That skunk does not like the bright light. That evil thing, yes, it's evil. Because that property is anointed and belongs to the Lord. He can have the woods, just not my yard. And he's violating a principle. So therefore, he's not only a blighter. You want me to go here? They're like, yeah. He's messing with his own life. Just saying. So since the bright lights are up, there's no more digging. Now, I still monitor and watch without being obsessed and second guessing. You see the parallel?
Yeah.
And go on with what the Lord has me doing. What are you obsessing over? What are you forgetting to deal with? What are you so busy that it's causing distractions and stunting your growth in the spirit? Ooh, did that hurt? Here's the thing. There's somebody in here. Well, there's more than one, but there's somebody in here where Jesus is waiting to show you how to navigate this boat. He's got the key, the engine's full. And he's like, come on, let's go for a test drive. And you're like, well, you know, I got this work project. And once I finish this project, or well, I got this thing I got to do. You know, and once I finish this, or I got this that I got to get done. But once I get this finished, then I will. Well, I'm going to tell you something about the flesh. It's easy to forget what you say you're going to do as time moves on. And so as we were worshiping, I actually saw people pulling out some of their navigation maps, promises of the Lord that were spoken over them, and reacquainting themselves because they're off course. They're totally off course. God has told you blah, 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 and you kind of went blah, blip, bleh, and you are not even anywhere where the Lord wants you to be. And I'm not yelling, and I'm not condemning. I'm just saying, hey, head to the lighthouse. Head to the light, because where there's light, there's always direction. You can always find your course with a lighthouse. That's good stuff. Yeah. Are you leaving us?
I have to pick up a grandson.
God bless.
To, and
see you later. Now, here's a good example. If I didn't say that, and I've had this happen, you know, someone gets a text and they got to go, and I think, oh boy, I really offended them. On the way home, I think, oh boy, I don't think that about her. But isn't it easy to think, oh, this is too tough, or oh, I'm, you know, she's... Listen how easy it is to get tripped by the traps of the enemy or the weaknesses of our emotional needs or lack of strength of mastering our emotions. You know what I'm saying? I had to deal with stuff like that years ago, because here's what happened. When I leave here tonight, the enemy would be like, you blew it. You blew it. You offended that person. Now I'm like, no, I didn't. I don't even say, oh, did I? No, I didn't. Get out of here, lying devil. I don't even have the ability to know when I offend people. That's a gift that the Lord put in me. People have to tell me, oh, you offended someone. Oh, I did? Oh. And then I go make it right. It's part of the call. I just don't know. See, when you speak by the Spirit, if you're worried about what people are thinking or saying, that's your flesh, and that's not by the Spirit. You don't want that. And in the church, there's a lot of that. Ooh, we better be careful. What do you think, congregation? What do you think about this? Well, that's dangerous. And I'm pretty sure Jesus didn't do it like that. And so we've come along to, you know, cuddling, you know, the attendees or the congregation. And I'm not against churches. I love churches. I've got great pastor friends. But if we're so concerned about the emotional, just the emotions of how people are you comfortable? Is the chair good enough for you? Did you like the coffee? Was that okay? What? You know, some are so off, they wouldn't know the Holy Ghost if he stood in front of them and said, hello, I don't drink coffee, or, you know, whatever. There's enough man's plans. And here's the thing. We're seeing this. You're going to see more. We talked about this. We're going to see more splits, more adjusting and throwing the weight off. You know, the churches have budgets. And if the budgets aren't met, they start doing cuts. And it's not going to be the coffee that gets cut, I'm just telling you, because that's a comfort food for the people that come. They want to feed them flesh. I didn't know we were going here. And I like good coffee, and I like coffee at church, okay? But I don't have an opinion to tell them that I don't like their coffee, or it's too hot, it's too cold. Who cares? It's drink it or don't drink it. I don't know why we're here. We all have to start somewhere. And I understand that to get people to come to church, you got to do what you got to do. But I think the better way is the Holy Ghost. I feel like the plastic is so thick right now that, you know, and I came out of that, so it's not like I'm like, you know, greater or, you know, la, 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 whatever. I'm just saying, I know counterfeit and I know real, and people are desperate for truth, and a good cup of coffee is not going to bring truth or change. It may make them come back again, but if it's windy or cold out, they're not coming. They're staying home and drinking coffee. So, but I know food brings people, and I know some people don't have the ability to, you know, have a meal. So I understand that there is a place for the church to feed, but I don't think it should be the sole responsibility to feed a good breakfast to someone of fleshly Egg McMuffins instead of a message of the Word. You know, that's where life is. It's in the Word. You know, a muffin only lasts so many hours, and then you're like, I'm still hungry. But the Word of God, when it goes in your soul, it like feeds you and gives you nutrients, and then they explode inside of you, and you're like a powerhouse of the living God, because you is. Because you are the Word in you, which is powerful. So I'm trying to gently get off the church and go back to where God's talking about, we're not getting off the church. Okay. So hold fast, hold steady, and don't be swayed by the church, by what your church is thinking about doing, not thinking about doing, what your neighbors are thinking about doing or not thinking about doing, even what I'm doing or not doing. Listen, you answer to God and God alone and your spouse and your family, but first it's God. And he's calling for right order in every area, in all of us, not just families, not just our relationship with him. It's with church. It's with every part of our life, because here's the thing. The winds are blowing. And anything that's not of him is gonna start to shake, blow, and then go. And if you go after it, you're going to miss what God's doing. And God's doing something that's so spectacular right now. If it wasn't, why would the enemy be so afraid and throwing all this fear and all this subterfuge and all this junk and trickery? It's to get our eyes off of what Jesus has done and what he's released for us to do for this final hour. Okay, now I don't mean final hour tonight, although it could be. But I'm telling you something, we are a part of something that the old saints wished they could have been. Wow, what an honor. And then some of us, you know, we're like, well, I don't think I want to be. Well, listen, God picked you for this hour. Gideon. And we need you. We need your mighty sword. We need your mighty word. We need the gifting that Jesus put inside of you. So, we're going to see flailing. We're going to see, you know, winds blowing. But listen, God wins. Let's remember, God wins. He already defeated every force of darkness, but yet we still see darkness. What's up? It's because he gave us authority to rule and reign on earth, occupy till he comes. And so some of you are like, you know, I heard that scripture, but I don't want that scripture. Can I pick and choose? No, you can't. No. But the Lord is saying, come on, I'll teach you to wield the sword. Come on, I'll teach you how to battle. Come on, I'll teach you how to stay in the secret place. When the winds blow, you're underneath the wing of the eagle, and there is no wind touching you because you're his. There's a place, friends. And see, that's what's all this is really all about. It isn't about a mask, a vaccine, or a line, or no travel, all that junk. It's about abiding in the secret place of the Most High. And if the enemy can get you worried about a sickness or an ache or a pain or a finance or a decision, if he can get you worried about that, that keeps you out of the secret place. But I'm going to give you a secret. It's in the secret place that you get the secrets. I'm telling you the truth. The wisdom of the Father is marvelous. The revelation is incredible. And it's in the Word, it's hidden in the Word, but it's when you're in him and you come out and you read the Word and you go, oh, now I know what he meant when they wrote that. It's marvelous. And so he's raising us up to come a little higher. And I feel the challenge, and I see people getting, you know, some of you are getting your, I want to call them sailing suits, but they're not. They're actually look like military uniforms. And I see you being fitted, and I see great things happening. And some of you are like uncomfortable in this new outfit, but listen, it isn't about you. You know, I can tell you from experience, anytime I've had to go to a wedding or get dressed up, it's like this thing that rises inside of me, this uncomfortable thing. Anytime I had to put high heels on, I'd be like, really? It's always so uncomfortable. And then one day I made a decision many, 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 many years ago. I'm not doing this anymore. I am not wearing an uncomfortable dress. I'm going to go in an outfit that is comfortable. It made a big difference in my life. Same thing. I know this is a little rabbit trail, but it's the same thing like Tupperware parties. I don't like them. I don't even think they have them anymore. I think they do these online parties now, which I still don't like. And I there's something, it's just like putting on a dress or something. It's like, I, not that I'm against dresses. It's just, okay, you guys know me. And, you know, let's just say, pants are good. And so, listen, look at what my shoes right now, okay? I'm kind of casually dressed, but I have flip-flops on that don't even match. Do you know why I have these on? Because they're comfortable. I don't come to please people, and I don't care what people think about me in the natural. I care about what people think in the spirit, and I can tell when there's a connection or a gristle or an offense in the spirit. That's what I care about. The rest, I could care less. And so, you know, for those of you who are still so caught up in the looks and the natural, you know, God bless you. As you age, you get mature, and you realize that it doesn't make a difference. But listen, God is challenging us to wear the garments of heaven, to learn what they are, to understand how they fit, and how to move and breathe and walk in them. And this is heavy for some of you, but I'm telling you the truth. Every one of you has garments. Every one of you has a house in heaven. Every one of you has a place, a position in God that no one else can fill. You're like a big puzzle. We're all like a puzzle, and we all fit in the kingdom. And some are, you know, trying to jump off the table and don't want to go into place. But, and that's because you're dealing with the issues of your flesh, the way you think it should be, the way you were taught. And some of it is just plain garbage. What are we doing today, Lord? What are we doing today? I don't care about yesterday. I blow it every day. But what are we doing today? I don't measure. I don't use my standard of measurement for anything. It doesn't work because it's a faulty system built on a faulty, from the fall. Now, that doesn't mean I'm a slob and don't attend to the things in the natural. I try. But I don't let it bother me, and I don't drag it behind me. Because we're all going to stand one day in front of him. And if you're grabbing and dragging all the stuff and the earthly treasures that you valued so much, first of all, it'll never make it out of this realm. And second of all, none of it matters. Did you love your neighbor? Did you love yourself? Did you sow seeds of kindness? Those are currency. Hallelujah. I just felt, I can't go anymore until he pushes. Lead us and guide us in all truth always, Lord. I'm telling you guys, if you get a glimpse, and some of you get the glimpses, you know, it's so marvelous, his kingdom. And when the curtain is opened and you see the goodness of God, when you really connect with the heart of the Father, your whole life is changed. It's like something gets plugged into a socket and everything lights up. That's the goodness of God. It's always there, but it's like, we push, we feel, we try to find our way, and then one day, boom, there he is. And when you taste and see the goodness of God, you could never, that can never be taken away from you, ever. And my heart's cry is that every one of us tastes and sees the goodness of God and just lets the enemy and the lies of the enemy fall to the ground. Go boldly into the throne of grace. Go boldly into the kingdom. To the private chambers of Jesus and spend time in the oneness and worship him and adore him and just love on him or listen and let him talk to you about what's on his heart. And I'm telling you, as we do this and practice this, it gets easier. It's never predictable and it's never the same, but it's always exciting and filled with life and living water. And that's his desire. He wants us all as one in him. And we're on this journey. We have our ships, and we're going to hold fast, hold steady. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's message by Laurie Scanlon. You can download more messages from our store at www.spiritofgodworldwide.com.